You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
This is a special edition of 2020, the deadliest mass murder since 2019.
8 people killed, 7 women, 6 were of Asian descent, all fellow Americans, each one of them we mourn.
Fear, brutal assaults, and hate all in the shadow of a pandemic.
The shootings took place as violent hate crimes and discrimination against Asian Americans has risen dramatically over the last year and more.
Why is this happening? And what's being done to stop it?
What happens right now and over the course of the coming months will send a message for generations to come as to whether we matter.
Right now, our reporters are live across the country with their experiences. Here now, David Muir, Eva Pilgrim, and Juju Chang.
Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of 2020, Murder in Atlanta. We come on the air tonight with a nation angry, on edge, and grieving over the wave of attacks against Asian Americans here in the U.S. Millions were stunned by a gunman's shooting rampage here in Atlanta, killing 8 people, 6 of Asian descent. Tonight, we are learning more about those 8 victims.
And Juju, we were all watching as President Biden and Vice President Harris came before the cameras in Atlanta late today, after meeting with Asian American leaders, community leaders, in the wake of the shootings. The president calling the meetings heart-wrenching. The president addressing the skyrocketing spike in attacks against Asians in the U.S., calling it a year of living in fear. And Vice President Harris, who is Black and Asian American, addressing the loss, the pain, and the work that's now needed.
6 out of the 8 people killed on Tuesday night were of Asian descent. 7 were women. The shootings took place in businesses owned by Asian Americans. The shootings took place as violent hate crimes and discrimination against Asian Americans has risen dramatically over the last year and more.
Well, whatever the motivation, we know this. Too many Asian Americans have been walking up and down the streets and worrying, waking up each morning the past year feeling their safety and the safety of their loved ones are at stake.
This week's shooting rampage in Atlanta is the deadliest mass shooting in the U.S. in nearly 2 years. We have covered so many of these tragedies, each making a powerful impact on American lives. School children in Parkland and Newtown, concert goers in Las Vegas.
And Eva, in Atlanta this week, of course, the horrific shootings force a nation to address questions of racism, sexism, and the destructive power of words along the way. And so we begin tonight back at the scene in Atlanta. And Juju.
David, this nightmare chain of events began unfolding in the Atlanta area on Tuesday night. The gunman opening fire at one business, driving 30 miles to target victims at 2 other businesses, including here at Gold Spa behind me. Authorities say he had been to these establishments before. And for police, it was a race against time to catch the shooter before he could kill again.
On a damp and dreary afternoon, terror and horror seizes the Atlanta area as a lone assailant launches an hours-long shooting rampage across multiple Asian-owned spas.
Some guy came in and took the gun, so everybody heard the gunshot.
We do not have a witness that actually is alive right now that can tell us who shot him.
21-year-old Robert Aaron Long arrives at Young's Asian Massage Parlor in Acworth, Georgia, 45 minutes north of the city. The man allegedly sits in his car for almost an hour. Then, around 4:50, he enters Young's and opens fire. Police arriving within minutes, finding a massacre.
Sounds like a...
4 are dead. Xiaozha Tan went by Emily. She was the owner of Young's and a licensed massage therapist. She would have turned 50 yesterday.
Delana Ashley Yon was a 33-year-old mother of two. She leaves behind a 13-year-old son and a baby born just 8 months ago.
She'd been getting a couples massage with her husband, Mario, who was in a separate room and was able to escape.
No se pone a pensar la familia que sufre, pues, y lo que deja todavía los niños que sufren por su mamá, su papá, o que fallecen. No, eso no está bien. Justicia es lo que pido.
Paul Andre Michaels, 54, of Atlanta. Daoya Fung, 44, whose address wasn't immediately known. A fifth person is in stable condition, 30-year-old Elsius Hernandez Ortiz of Ackworth. He was leaving the store next door to the spa and was hit.
We never know when we're at the wrong place at the wrong time, and I feel like that's what happened with him.
Police gathering evidence from nearby surveillance footage, posting the images online in hopes the public can identify the shooter. Long's father calls 911.
I was there speaking with the family. They were very helpful in this apprehension.
Almost an hour after the first shooting, 30 miles away, police respond to a call about a robbery at the Gold Spa. It's in an area with a strip club and other spas.
We just heard numerous gunshots coming from across the street.
Inside Gold Spa, officers find three women shot. One of them is Hyunjung Grant.
She was quite literally the only thing that kept us running.
As officers are tending to the dying victims, they're alerted to another shooting directly across the street at the 24-hour aromatherapy spa.
Some ladies got hurt, I think, and everybody's scared, so they're hiding in the behind, but the ladies passed out.
Inside, they find a Korean woman dead from a gunshot wound. The victims from the second and third shootings are Sunjung Park, age 74, Sunja Kim, age 69, and Young Ah Yu, age 63. There's so much we still don't know about many of these victims. Their identities obscured, in part because of the complicated and highly racialized, even dangerous reality for some Asian women in America.
So we need to make sure if we have any Asian spas, we need to be checking on them.
Long's parents have also told authorities their son has a tracker app on his cell phone, and it's activated. Authorities locate Long traveling south on Interstate 75, disable his vehicle, arrest him.
He apparently has an issue, what he considers a sex conviction, and sees these locations as something that allows him to go to these places, and it's a temptation for him that he wanted to eliminate.
It's the biggest mass shooting in this country since 2019, coming in the midst of an enormous spike in crimes against Asians and Pacific Islanders. This week alone, an 83-year-old Asian man assaulted, parts of his neck fractured, a 59-year-old Asian man beaten, nearly blinded in one eye, and a 76-year-old Asian woman punched in the eye, left bleeding.
For over a year, Asian Americans have been fighting an additional virus of hate and bigotry. Our community is bleeding. We are in pain, and for the last year, we've been screaming out for help.
The fear in the Asian community, especially in Atlanta, now at crisis levels.
How's it going?
Irene Pan owns a spa just a few minutes away from where the shooting took place.
When the sheriff's office said, oh, it's not race, it's just sex addiction.
I really don't think so. My worker is kind of concerned to come to work right now. Some people is crazy. I mean, they come without say anything or argument, just to shoot you.
She's now considering buying a gun for protection.
And tonight, Randy Park, who lost his mother, telling us he's having a hard time putting his gratitude now into words. The GoFundMe page he set up, hoping to make rent for a month and maybe pay for funeral expenses, has raised nearly $2 million in 24 hours. Donations coming in from around the world, reflecting all the emotion tonight. We've been talking with the grieving families of some of the victims from the attacks, including Jamie Webb, alongside her father, left to reflect on the lives and the potential lost.
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry. What does your heart feel like right now?
Empty. She never finished high school. And she, like, when I told her that I decided to go to college, she was so happy. She just wanted to celebrate because she's very proud of it.
You were the embodiment of your mother's dreams.
Yes.
When you saw this unfold,
What went through your mind?
My first thought was for Jamie, a life-changing experience for both of us. The last couple of years, she would say, you know, I'm going to be able to retire soon.
Her dream was to retire early, and yesterday was her 50th birthday. That must have been a hard day for you. Mm-hmm. When you think of your favorite memories of your mom, what are they?
Eating sushi before she goes back to work.
What do you think she sacrificed along the way for your benefit?
Her whole life. Any dream or aspiration she could have had. She loved clubbing, partying, karaoke, singing. She loved music.
What went through your mind about all the things you have to shoulder now?
I'm a train wreck at night when I'm alone.
What do you miss the most?
Her.
All of her.
Yeah.
How do you want your mom to be remembered?
That she's a great mother. She wants us to have a good life. That's why she worked so hard.
Your mom would be very proud of you.
Yes.
And I know she was.
And you can see the outpouring here, candles and flowers blossoming on the sidewalk in front of Gold Spa behind me, and notes in Korean, and alongside the Stop the Hate hashtags, written, handwritten notes that say, we stand with our neighbors against racism. David?
We certainly do, Juju. Thank you. And as we try to focus on these families, we are also learning more tonight about the alleged gunman. 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long. There remain questions about his motive, and authorities there in Georgia say they have not ruled out whether this is a hate crime.
Authorities say he bought the gun he used the day of the shooting on that day, and they believe he was on the way to kill again when he was stopped. Here's ABC's Steve Osunsami.
This is what heartbreak looks like across America. The strangers who are joining the families of victims to cry. This is also what it looks like to stand against hate. People of all colors speaking up and marching out for Asian Americans who feel under attack. In all, 8 people were gunned down in this killing spree. And the number one question for the accused murderer, why?
The suspect did take responsibility for the shootings.
Investigators say that 21-year-old Robert Aaron Long told them he struggled with a sex addiction, and that somehow in his mind he thought he'd fix himself by targeting the 24-hour spas where he was a regular. The gun police say he used, they say he bought it here on the day of the shooting. And if they hadn't stopped him, they think he would have made it to Florida.
It is very likely that there would have been more victims.
Authorities in Atlanta suburbs and the city have now charged him with 8 counts of murder. Rodney Bryant is the interim police chief in Atlanta, where the killing spread between 2 spas.
I think that people thought that it was all wrapped up once we made the arrest. But now this is where the real work began.
What do you think about the chances of this becoming a hate crimes case?
It's just too early for me to make that determination because there are so many questions that are left unanswered. You have to look at the victims that we had in the city of Atlanta. All of our victims were female. All of our victims were Asian. There's so much more that needs to be uncovered.
The tone is slightly different in the suburbs, where the first 4 victims died and where the accused killer is in custody.
This is still early, but he does claim that it was not racially motivated.
The sheriff's office in the suburbs is having to defend itself after their spokesperson came across to some as racially insensitive, saying this about the accused gunman.
He was pretty much fed up and kind of at the end of his rope, and yesterday was a really bad day for him, and this is what he did.
After that, it was a bad day for the sheriff, who removed this police captain from briefings on the case. It didn't help when people discovered this now-deleted Facebook post by the same captain telling his friends to buy T-shirts that say COVID-19 imported virus from China. It's the same type of message against Asians that people in the streets are trying to fight. Here in Atlanta, authorities say they get it, and there's lots of work to do.
It frightens Asian Americans, not just here, but across the country. I mean, people are scared.
We recognize the concern and the pain that they're going through. We're here to make sure that this doesn't fall through the crack, that we not miss one stone as it relates to investigating this case.
Moments from now, Senator Tammy Duckworth and her concerns about crimes against Asians going unreported.
The Chinese virus,
Kung Flu.
The Chinese virus.
Get all different names. Wuhan.
How his racist words are linked to violence against the Asian community. Then, the on-court experience that made basketball star Jeremy Lin speak out. He joins us with his story.
Some folks don't stop searching till they find the truth. If you've got a detective's eye, June's Journey is the game for you. Play as June Parker in a gripping murder mystery as you find hidden objects to help solve her sister's death. You'll hunt for clues in hundreds of beautifully illustrated scenes set in the roaring 20s. New chapters are added weekly. Find your first clue by downloading June's Journey today. Available on Android and iOS mobile devices, as well as on PC through Facebook Games.
Welcome, mystery enthusiasts. If you're a fan of uncovering hidden clues and solving mind-bending mysteries, then you're in for a treat with June's Journey, the thrilling detective game set in the mesmerizing world of the Roaring Twenties. Dive into the glamour and intrigue as you engage your sense of observation to find hidden objects from the parlors of New York to the sidewalks of Paris. Each chapter unravels a collection of dazzling hidden object spectacles, testing your detective skills to the limit. Go deep into the mysteries of June's Journey, navigating through intriguing chapters. The thrill of solving each puzzle will keep you coming back for more. The storytelling is absolutely captivating. You'll be hooked from the first chapter. Whether it's during your commute or a cozy evening at home, June's Journey is your new go-to game. Make sure you've got that internet connection ready for an uninterrupted detective experience. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNADS.com.
Welcome back to this special edition of 2020. There were powerful and raw moments on Capitol Hill late this week. Testimony about the rise in hate crimes and discrimination against Asian Americans. Illinois Senator Tammy Duckworth adding her voice to so many others, demanding action when it comes to crimes against Asian Americans, most often going underreported in this country. And the destructive power of words used over the past year during this pandemic. I asked Senator Duckworth about all of this just a short time ago. Senator Duckworth, thank you for being here tonight. I know you testified on Capitol Hill late this week, the first hearing on Asian American hate in this country in more than three decades. You were very honest about what you've seen, and it's great to have you with us here tonight. I did want to get your reaction, first of all, to President Biden in Atlanta tonight. He said words have consequences, that this should be called coronavirus full stop. Vice President Harris said in the last year that leaders with the biggest pulpit in the world were spreading hate. Do you agree with that? Do you see a direct connection, words that were used during the pandemic, with this rise in hate against Asian Americans?
Yes, I do see a direct link between the, you know, these hateful terms that President Trump has used and many of his supporters have used to call the coronavirus. And really, you know, it's just this further effort to scapegoat and shift the blame away from his own failures onto the Asian American community. But unfortunately, it has grown into an all-out attack on Asian Americans across this country, and that's just simply not acceptable.
You have called for formal investigations into crimes against Asian Americans in this country that you say go underreported and have for many years. You heard what the FBI director said, Christopher Wray, in the last 24 hours, that what we saw in Atlanta this week, he said that it does not appear the motive to be racially motivated. Do you agree with him on that point? Is this bigger than that?
I think it's too soon to know exactly what the motivation was in Atlanta. I will tell you, though, that the issue is much bigger than the shootings in Atlanta. We have seen that race crimes, hate crimes against Asian Americans have risen by over 150% in the last year alone in our major cities.
I wonder if you took note that we heard from both President Biden and Vice President Harris that whatever the motivation, they seem to put that right to the side today in addressing the American people, that this is bigger than that, that we must acknowledge that Asian Americans over the last year in particular, the president said, wake up in fear of verbal attacks. It talked about the attacks on Asian Americans, both verbally and that some have been physically attacked, have been killed, that that this is real and that regardless of what we've seen just this week in Atlanta and however this is labeled by the local authorities ultimately, that we must have a bigger picture here about what's going on?
Very much so. I think both the president and the vice president were right on point there to say that this is a bigger trend in the nation and that we have to stop it. And as leaders, we must make it clear that race crimes and hate crimes against AAPIs are not acceptable. They're not acceptable against anyone, but that we there is a real problem here where an entire community of Americans have been targeted and scapegoated. And I think that's a key word there that the president used, scapegoating, because that's exactly what has happened to Asian Americans throughout our nation's history.
I'm curious, Senator, we heard from that brave son here. He and his brother left without their mother, Hyun Jung Grant. His name is Randy. He penned a letter about his mom saying, "She is a single mother who dedicated her whole life to providing for my brother and I. She was one of my best friends," he said, "and the strongest influence on who we are today." I'm curious, how do people watching who feel for that son, who feel for all of these families here and who want the hate to stop and are wondering at home tonight, what can I do as a lone American? What would you say to them?
What I would say to them is stand up and speak out when you see instances of racism happening. You have to call out bad behavior instead of turning the other way. We've had Asian Americans attack in public places and no one comes to their aid. No one comes to their rescue. It happens on a daily basis. Somebody makes racist comments in a grocery store. My own mother, when she goes grocery shopping sometimes, has to endure racist comments, from other shoppers. And the people around them may hear but say nothing. So, you know, every individual can make a difference. You can teach your children that these are racist terms and this is not acceptable. You can model the best behavior and call it out when you see it happening, because it's happening all over the country.
Hopefully we've started that conversation here tonight. Senator Duckworth, thanks so much for taking the time for us.
Thanks for having me on.
Senator Duckworth with us tonight, making it very clear everyone has a role to play. And she really does believe that Americans are not powerless in this moment.
And that we can all play a role to call it out and stand with our neighbors. Such an important message, David. And President Biden delivering that powerful message in Atlanta earlier tonight, that words have consequences, reiterating this is the coronavirus, full stop. President Biden saying the use of hate words and hateful acts must come to an end. Here's ABC's Zareen Shaw.
Condemnation of the recent rash of anti-Asian violence from President Biden and Vice President Harris, the country's highest-ranking Asian American official.
A harm against any one of us is a harm against all of us.
Saying hateful words and deeds against fellow Americans must stop.
We cannot be complicit. We have to speak out. We have to act.
A call for action during the nationwide rise in COVID-fueled attacks on Asian Americans. Videos like this sparking outrage. The senseless death of 84-year-old Thai immigrant Vichar Ratanapauti, knocked to the ground while on his morning walk, spurring many to stand up against anti-Asian hate.
Seeing these elderly Asians just being attacked viciously, I really was paralyzed.
Actress Olivia Munn says her friend's mom was attacked, captured by surveillance cameras.
We've been hearing about these attacks for a long time, and especially during the last year when the pandemic was weaponized against Asian Americans.
While not all attacks have been physical, the weaponry of xenophobic words can cut just as deep.
Asian piece of
Oh my God. Right.
Then we have Torrance Karen.
Go back to whatever Asian country you belong in.
It is something in the psyche of this country where somehow it's okay to physically or verbally abuse Asian Americans. We're being scapegoated.
Clinical psychologist Dr. Doris Chang has studied anti-Asian discrimination.
We've seen an increase in physical attacks. What's the impact of the emotional attacks, the words?
Words are extremely powerful. Our former president used a lot of words to describe the coronavirus.
The China flu.
The China virus. The plague from China. We have to be accurate.
Kung flu. Yeah.
Unapologetically, he helped to stoke the fires of anti-Asian violence.
You know, the reality is it reinforces a particular association between the virus, something deadly, with a group of people.
And language of hate, it seems, begets the violence. Anti-Asian violence is up about 150% in major U.S. cities. And according to an NYU survey, 34% of Asian Americans say they've been victims of verbal abuse since the start of the pandemic. 24% cite workplace discrimination, and 16% say they were spit at.
4 out of every 10 Asian Americans has had one of these experiences directly in the past year. It shows how underreported these acts of violence and discrimination are.
But a growing movement of young people refusing to stay silent.
We're sick and tired of being invisible and ignored in our country. The pain of the Asian community has been muted for decades.
Former presidential candidate and current New York mayoral candidate Andrew Yang is also addressing the mass shooting in Atlanta and the rise in Asian American attacks across the country. His wife Evelyn today tweeting about the intersection of race, misogyny, and rape culture and the backlash she faced when revealing her own sexual assault. Evelyn and Andrew Yang joining us now. And Evelyn, thank you both for being here, but I want to start with you, if I may. You recently tweeted that the fetishizing of Asian women is real, and you've spoken out as a survivor yourself. Why is this such an important topic for you?
Well, thank you, Gigi. Thanks for having us today. You know, the shooter targeted Asian American women. And of course, that's very hits very close to home. You know, when I came forward about being sexually assaulted by my doctor last year, I was not expecting the racial element that I experienced, but I wasn't surprised. You know, I got some comments that were racially charged, like you wanted his egg roll, and things, other comments that were honestly much worse than that, that I can't even speak. And I think that the problem here is this stereotyping of Asian women that is harmful because it implies fault on the part of the victim. So Asian women are either too submissive and too much of a pushover that we somehow let it happen, or that we're hypersexualized and we were asking for it. You know, these are two just very toxic, obviously, elements to these stereotypes, but they're also barriers to Asian women coming forward about sexual assault when, you know, culturally it's also less likely that Asian American women come forward to begin with. And I think when you look at...
And I know you both... Right. I know you both have fought against the cultural tendency towards silence. Andrew, you have been such a staunch ally for your wife throughout her ordeal. How can men be allies in this fight?
Well, men have to speak up when we see something in terms of misogyny or mistreatment of women. And certainly if there's a woman in our life that is being subject to some form of abuse or harassment. And I have to say that men are around other men, and we can do more. We have to be able to look out for the women in our lives and really the people in our community more than is happening in many environments right now.
And yet, Evelyn, you also have spoken out about experiencing COVID racism firsthand. What did you mean by that?
So I think like many Asians in the last year, we've experienced belittling just on the street. You know, my first brush with COVID related racism was a comment by a woman who said something to me along the lines of, "Stay away from me, I don't want your diseases." And I think what was most disturbing about that encounter was that it was in broad daylight. She said it in front of her friend, like it was completely acceptable. When it's not. Right. And I think that this speaks to the normalization of what's happening with our within our community, which is the dehumanization of Asian Americans.
Right. And
even...
Andrew, in the... Sorry, Andrew, in the 10 seconds we have left, what can the Asian American community do to rally around this issue and stop the hate?
The first thing we have to do is let people know that this is happening, this is real, it's getting stronger, it's getting more dangerous. And even now, Juju, a lot of these incidents are not reported. We have to change that.
Thank you for being part of the change, Andrew and Evelyn Yang. Thanks for being with us. You know, Asian Americans represent people from more than 48 countries around the globe.
It's really important to remember that, Juju. And despite that, Eva has reported on how often they're lumped together into a single community here in the U.S.
One unifying factor, the history of racism nearly all Asian American groups have encountered so often rooted in xenophobia and otherism for generations treated as foreigners who are not full Americans.
Almost as soon as Asian immigrants set foot in this country, ethnic scapegoating followed right behind. Chinese workers in the mid-1800s helping to build the railroads heard they were taking American jobs.
Asians were never regarded as Americans, meaning that they were never given citizens' rights at the beginning of the Republic.
In 1871, a violent mob in Los Angeles lynched at least 17 Chinese residents, a massacre fueled by white resentment toward the growing immigrant population. In 1882, the animosity led Congress to pass the first and only law restricting an ethnic group coming into the country, the Chinese Exclusion Act. It lasted until 1943.
You make them the other through legislation, such as the passage of the Chinese Exclusion Act. To be an other is not simply, oh, you're someone else. You know, you're just not an American. It's not like that. It's also about the process of being objectified, of being less than human.
Soon after, what many consider one of the most shameful moments in American history, Japanese Americans treated as the suspect enemy in their own nation, placed in internment camps during World War II.
Two-thirds of those Japanese Americans were U.S.-born Americans, and they were forcibly relocated and incarcerated without due process.
For decades, Hollywood has both reflected and reinforced portrayals of Asian Americans as perpetual foreigners, from Breakfast at Tiffany's to 16 Candles.
What's happening? Hot stuff?
Turning racism into laughs.
When you see nothing but that clownish, that buffoonish image, that implacably alien image constantly being painted on our faces, then it's so much easier to not think of us as human.
But of all the racist stereotypes, some of the most insidious are those that hypersexualize Asian women, frequently portrayed as sex objects, like in Austin Powers.
Austin Powers is very sexy.
Or the submissive women in massage parlors, like in Rush Hour 2.
Oh my goodness.
Asian women as the focus of the Western male gaze is nothing new, playing out in real life with the U.S. military in Asia, fueling sex industries that exploited Asian women. But it's this scene from Full Metal Jacket that has permeated American culture like few others.
We love you long time.
Those words used repeatedly in movies like The 40-Year-Old Virgin.
We love you long time.
And TV shows like South Park.
We love you long time.
Those are the lines that people remember, and it haunts us.
Images have power. Stories have power.
Activists say the toxic mix of racism and misogyny in these portrayals influence the way Asian women are treated in society.
When you think of humans as objects and when you erase their humanity, then it is no surprise that our lives are seen as worthless.
In this year of racial reckoning, AAPI activists say the attacks must end, and that starts with stamping out the underlying conditions of otherism and racism that feed violence.
Racism and xenophobia are national problems. The only way to survive this pandemic, the only way to survive these violent attacks is to work together and recognize our common humanity.
And so many voices have been speaking out about the spike in Asian American attacks. One of the most vocal, former NBA star Jeremy Lin. Jeremy Lin joins us now. And Jeremy, I know you started speaking out because something happened to you on the basketball court. Tell us about that.
For me, I was just playing and was called coronavirus during game. But, you know, I think that was just kind of a microcosm of everything that has been happening, the rhetoric from the previous administration. And again, a lot of these microaggressions or things that you guys have been talking about just now in the video, and it's starting to come out in different ways. And what I went through was just verbal. It was just a verbal thing. And I'm not saying that that's okay, but I'm saying what we're talking about and what we're seeing right now are physical acts of violence. We're seeing lives being taken, and it's not okay. And we cannot say nothing or do nothing. We must speak out, and that's what, you know, I plan on doing, and that's what, you know, a lot of other people are doing right now as well, which is encouraging.
You've actually recently said that you worry that you're encouraging more hate by speaking out. Why is that?
I mean, it's just human nature for me to think, man, am I making a difference? Am I helping things trend in the right direction? And for me, you know, I'm kind of thinking as I've been monitoring everything, it seems like things are getting worse by the day, by the week, that there's more headlines, that there's getting more and more ridiculous acts of violence. And so sometimes I'm wondering, are these headlines enabling other people? You know, me speaking out causing more hate and more division. And these are natural questions that I'm wrestling with and thinking through. But at the same time, it's like, man, we're at a critical juncture. And I feel like it's really important to speak out and to say something and to stand up and to be a voice for some of the people who might not have that voice to be heard, which is really, really sad.
So my question to you is, you know, where do we go from here? There's so many stereotypes about Asian men. You're an athlete. We barely ever see Asian male athletes as public figures. How do we change that narrative?
And I love the clip that you guys showed. We're able to see that as multi-generational and systemic, right? So this is not something that is going to change overnight, and this is not something that is going to happen easily. This is going back even to the railroad. If you look at the railroad, Asians built 90% of it. And then when you think about the way that it was marketed or the pictures at the very end, when they finally put the last pin in and they nailed it down and all this, and there's no Asians to be seen in the photographs and the media and the marketing. And then it goes from there and you see the Exclusion Act and the Japanese internment camps and different things like that. This is a long, deep, deep, deep rooted issue. But what we can do right now is just to talk and bring awareness around it. And I think at the very least, if anything, by talking about it, more people will hear. There will be more accountability. And I think naming and having the issue be upfront in conversation is the start of it. And then it's going to be on policymakers and different, you know, things going forward. But at the very least, that's where we can start right now.
And Jeremy Lin, people just want to be seen. That is definitely the message. We appreciate you being here with us tonight. And David, you know, he portrays such an important image for people to see that is so against the stereotypes that everyone has of Asian men.
No, and I love that conversation. I mean, so brave and candid about the power of his own words, wondering if they'll have impact. And I hope that we can just tell them that they are, and they're more needed now than ever.
The rise in Asian American attacks making headlines across the country, communities from New York to Oakland and San Francisco.
Of course, the big cities and the small towns all across this country, every incident raising the level of fear and anger, not just in the Asian American community, but really everywhere. And we want to bring in our reporters from some of our ABC stations across the country, beginning with Safan Kim from WABC here in New York. And Safan, we watch your reporting on a daily basis. And I know that you've reported so often on how difficult it is to actually prosecute hate crimes.
That's right, David. Hate crimes are the only crimes that require a proof of motive. So what investigators oftentimes need is some kind of racial slur being hurled. But as we've seen from so many of these attacks that we've covered, oftentimes no words are exchanged. So what we've been doing through our reporting is asking the question, why not in these gray areas where investigators struggle with how to categorize these crimes, at least absent of any obvious motive, no words exchanged, unprovoked, at least investigate the possibility of a hate crime. Now, credit to the NYPD, it has come around to understand this point of view from the community. And so as a result of our reporting, it has gone from no words exchanged, not racially motivated, to no words exchanged, unprovoked, investigating the possibility of a hate crime. But of course, charging the suspect is just one step. Prosecuting is a whole other challenge. So here in New York, there is a movement to change the definition of a hate crime. David?
Siobhan, great to have you with us here tonight. And stick with us here. We want to bring in Nydia Han from our ABC station, WPVI in Philadelphia, who wrote an op-ed in March of last year in the Philadelphia Inquirer about the hateful speech Asian Americans were experiencing due to COVID. And essentially what she wrote came true.
And Nydia, I know that was right at the beginning, and you've described subtle racism against Asians being ignored. What do you think people can do to combat this?
Eva, an honor to be with you tonight. One way to combat subtle or casual racism is to educate by calling it out for what it is, damaging and unacceptable. We know words, pictures, so-called jokes have a profound impact, perpetuating this false notion that we are the forever foreigner or the enemy or people to be objectified. And the violence we're seeing today is deeply rooted in those very sentiments. So let me give you two examples of what can happen when we call out and shine a light on this kind of behavior. In Philadelphia, a hoagie shop posted a racist menu item, something it called COVID mac and cheese. A labor union board member posted a racist meme on social media. When those stories were amplified, the menu item was removed and the labor union board member resigned. Those are real results, real consequences. And Eva, I think that is one way we can change our narrative in this country.
Nydia, there's power in speaking up, that is for sure. Thank you. And now we go to Dion Lim from our ABC station KGO in San Francisco.
Dion has quite a reputation for digging the stories up there, and a lot of your reporting, Dion, I know, has come about because victims have found you on social media. They've used direct messaging because that's where they feel safe enough to tell you about what's happening in your community.
That's right, David. These are victims who are at the lowest points in their lives. They are petrified, and the last thing they want to do is report their crime because of a number of reasons. They're afraid because they don't think others will believe them, or two, maybe there'll be retaliation. So what they do is they go to social media.
Now, with so much on the line, more Americans are turning to David Muir and ABC's World News Tonight than any other newscast across all of television.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.